Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Capital and Ideology is a major work of political economy and economic history by Thomas Piketty, published in French in 2019 and in English in 2020. It extends the argument of capital in the 21st century, but with a much broader historical and political scope. Rather than treating inequality as a natural outcome of markets or technology, Piketty examines how every society creates stories, laws, and institutions that justify unequal ownership and political power. The book ranges from ancient and feudal systems to colonial, communist, social democratic, and contemporary hypercapitalist regimes. Its purpose is both analytical and normative, to explain how inequality has been organized over time and to argue for a new framework of democratic redistribution. The result is a large comparative study of how ideas about property, class, education, and citizenship shape economic systems and determine who gains influence in society. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, inequality as a political and ideological construction, not a natural law. Piketty's central claim is that inequality is maintained by ideas, institutions, and political choices rather than by economic forces alone. This matters because it shifts the discussion away from the common assumption that markets simply reward talent or efficiency. In his account, societies always need a moral story to explain why some groups own more, vote more, or command more authority than others. Those stories can be religious, legal, nationalist, meritocratic, or technocratic, but they serve the same function: they stabilize hierarchy. By tracing these justifications across history, Piketty shows that inequality is contingent and therefore changeable. That argument is important because it makes redistribution a question of democratic design rather than economic inevitability. The book does not deny material incentives or class interests, but it insists that political legitimacy is what allows unequal systems to endure. Secondly, long-run comparison of inequality regimes across world history. A defining feature of the book is its comparative historical method. Piketty examines a sequence of inequality regimes, including ternary societies, slavery, serfdom, colonial systems, property-centered orders, communist experiments, social democracy, and modern hypercapitalism. He is less interested in a single national trajectory than in the large patterns that appear across time and regions. This wide frame allows him to ask why certain societies lock inequality into law while others open paths toward reform. The concept of switching points is crucial here. Major changes do not happen automatically, but when crises, conflicts, and ideological shifts make new arrangements possible. This approach gives the book its explanatory strength. Instead of describing inequality as a static fact, it presents it as a historically variable regime with identifiable rules, beneficiaries, and legitimating ideas. Readers get a structural view of how political orders evolve and why some of them become unstable. Thirdly, education and the struggle for equality as drivers of modern progress. Piketty reverses a familiar liberal story about development by arguing that human progress has been driven above all by struggles for equality and education. In his view, economic growth does not simply emerge from the defense of property rights or the accumulation of wealth at the top. Rather, broad social advancement has often depended on expanding access to schooling, voting rights, labor power, and public institutions that make upward mobility possible. This argument links distribution to productive capacity. Education is not only a social good, it is also a mechanism that broadens participation in economic and political life. That is one reason the book treats social democracy and mass education as historically significant achievements, even if they are incomplete. Piketty's analysis suggests that when societies invest in access rather than privilege, they create more dynamic and legitimate economies. The emphasis on education also helps explain why extreme inequality can become self-reinforcing. It narrows opportunity and eventually weakens the social basis of growth. Fourthly, the Brahmin left and the reshaping of party politics in unequal societies. One of the book's most discussed political concepts is the Brahmin left, Piketty's name for the transformation of many center-left parties into vehicles for the highly educated rather than the working poor. He argues that as social democratic reforms expanded education and professional opportunity, their beneficiaries often remained loyal to the left, but their interests and social profile changed. Over time, these parties became more associated with cultural capital, credentials, and metropolitan elites than with manual labor or low-income voters. At the same time, conservative parties increasingly aligned with wealth holders and market-oriented interests. This realignment helps explain why many citizens who feel excluded by globalization and credential-based politics have turned toward populist movements. The concept is useful because it connects electoral change to deep social transformation rather than to short-term messaging or personalities. It also shows that inequality is not only economic. It reorganizes political representation. turning class conflict into a struggle over who feels recognized by the democratic system. Lastly, participatory socialism and the book's program for redistributing wealth and power. The book is not only diagnostic, it proposes an alternative model called participatory socialism. Piketty does not present this as a return to centralized state planning, but as a way of democratizing ownership and decision-making. His proposals include stronger worker representation in firms, more progressive taxation, limits on concentrated wealth, and a major inheritance allocation for young adults so that capital ownership is more widely shared. The logic behind these proposals is that political equality requires some minimum equality in economic power. Without that, formal democracy remains vulnerable to capture by large owners and institutions. The program is ambitious because it combines market activity with broader social ownership and greater fiscal redistribution. It stands out in the contemporary debate because it is more institutionally detailed than many critiques of capitalism, yet more radical than conventional centrist reform. The book's policy section matters because it converts historical analysis into a concrete agenda for changing how wealth, work, and citizenship are organized. In conclusion, Capital and Ideology is best suited for readers interested in inequality, the history of capitalism, political theory, and the institutional foundations of democracy. It will also appeal to economists, historians, sociologists, and policy-oriented readers who want a broad interpretation of how societies justify and reproduce hierarchy. One of its main benefits is that it connects long-run history to present-day political conflict, showing how economic arrangements are inseparable from ideas about legitimacy, education, property, and citizenship. Readers gain not only a large comparative framework, but also a vocabulary for thinking about contemporary debates over redistribution and representation. What makes the book stand out from many other books on inequality is its scale and ambition. It is not just a diagnosis of rising wealth concentration, but a history of the ideological systems that make inequality politically durable. It also differs from narrower policy books because it ends with a full reform agenda, including worker co-determination, stronger taxation, and broader capital ownership. For anyone seeking a serious, structural explanation of modern inequality, it is one of the most distinctive books in the field. If you would like to support Thomas Piketty, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.